Good morning. It is good to see you. I just found out that there was another shooting in our state. Several officers were shot in Baton Rouge. I think three of them have passed away. So before we get started, let's pray for our state and our just the climate of what's going on, and pray for the families. This morning. God, we thank you for a new day. We thank you that it's Sunday. We thank you that you rose again, and that in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of disaster, you are still God and you are still good, and that we love you. Father, I pray this morning that you would be with these families who lost loved ones. God, we pray that you would be with the climate of our country, Lord, the hate, the anger. Father, I pray that we would be a light to folks who are hurting. Father, I pray that the church would help the situation. God, I pray that we would look for opportunities to love folks no matter where they are, no matter what they look like, and that you would change our state, that you would change our nation, because you've changed us. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're gonna continue on with this series about Isaiah and the servants we find in Isaiah. This morning we're gonna be in chapter 50. If you want to start heading there, we've been talking about the servant in Isaiah. Isaiah is a long book. There's 66 chapters, and in those 66 chapters, there are four specific text. There's four specific pieces of scripture that talk about a servant who is coming, a servant who will do some great things. And so a few weeks ago, we started out with this series talking about who is this servant. And from the title of the series, you obviously can see that I believe that Jesus is this servant, that Isaiah is speaking prophetically, that he is speaking of a future person who will come and will be a redeemer, who will be a servant, who will be the one who is able to point Israel back to where she needs to be. And so we've looked at these other two servants' songs, we call them, and it is building up. Until next week, we're going to look at the last one. So we looked at the first one. We looked at the servant is revealed. We see that in chapter 42, if you want to go back and read that text. We see that he is given a mission. We see that he is the Messiah, or the anointed one of God. And we see that he is also going to have a method that will be gentle, that he will not crush, that he will not beat down, he will not push down with his thumb, but he will be someone who comes not from one of power, but from one of weakness, and love the folks. And then last week we looked at the fact that the servant is sent, and there are several aspects of that, how the servant is prepared, the servant is lifted up, the servant is given a specific role to save Israel, and then that role is expanded to all of the nations, and then we see that one day the servant is worshipped. The kings and the princes worship him, which represent all of humanity and all of the world. And so this morning, I want us to talk about the servant's obedience. A servant's obedience. And so we're going to be in chapter 50 this morning, and we're going to see that a servant, this servant, Jesus, is a true representative of God. And he will suffer, yet he is vindicated. So this servant is a true representative of God. He will suffer, yet is vindicated. And what I want us to do today is to understand that the church, like the servant, will suffer. The church will suffer like Jesus, but one day we will be vindicated by God. A lot of us live in a concept, in a world that we think that as long as I'm not suffering, it's good. But as we look in scripture time and time again, Old Testament, New Testament, the church, what's going on in the lives of believers, it's not always good news. And a lot of us today, we live in a time where people suffer, where people struggle, where people go through hardships because of who they believe in, because Jesus is their rock. And so suffering comes sometimes. So this morning, I want to look at this passage. I want us to point to see what happens to the servant. And then next week, we're going to see the culmination of the servant in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. So this morning, we'll start out. This is five short verses. We're going to start in verse 4. We're going to read through verse 9. It says this in chapter 50, verse 4. He says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are instructed, to know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me each morning. He awakens my ear to listen like those being instructed. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I will not be rebellious." Or, "I was not rebellious, and I did not turn back. I gave my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who tore out my beard. I did not hide my face from the scorn and the spitting. The Lord God will help me. Therefore, I have not been humiliated. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be put to shame. The one who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us confront each other. Who has a case against me? Let him come near me. In truth, the Lord God will help me. Who will condemn me? Indeed, all of them will wear out like a garment. A moth will devour them." This morning, I want us to look at three aspects of how this servant is obedient. There are three ways in which we see that this servant is obedient, and three aspects that we need to pull from this text. The first is that we see that he is the voice and the ear of God. He is the voice and the ear of God. Verses 4 and 5 say, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are instructed, to know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me each morning. He awakens my ear to listen like those being instructed. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, and I did not turn back." So this servant here is someone who declares God's word. This servant here is someone who hears God's word and passes it on to others. Again, there's a lot of discussion about who this servant is. If we look at this text, we may say, well, this is a prophet. This is just another one of Israel's preachers. That this is just someone in the life of Israel who hears God's word and proclaims it to other folks. Yet, if we look at it, the text in its whole, we see that this is not just some mere man. This is not just a guy who suffers. This is not just a guy who hears the word of God and passes it on to others. This is God himself. So this morning, we see that the servant declares God's word. The servant is what we call the disciple. Now I want you to before you push back, before you say this is crazy, I want you to understand that when we read scripture, when we read prophecy, it doesn't always sound the way we want it to sound. What is a disciple? What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner and a teacher. There are two facets to a disciple. A disciple should learn, and a disciple should teach. The disciple learns from a master, and the disciple teaches others. Now, the picture that they're using here, the metaphor that Isaiah is using here to describe Jesus, is that of a disciple. The disciple hears what the master has to say, and he teaches it to people that follow him. Now, we know that Jesus is God, and that's where we get kind of the disconnect. But we see in Jesus' life that Jesus subjugates himself. Jesus takes on the role of a servant, it says in scripture, that Jesus says he calls God his father and he obeys his commands. So even though Jesus is fully God, he is fully man, he subjugates himself to the role of a servant and obeys the Father. So in this context, with that in mind, we see that Jesus, though God himself, is in perfect union and perfect understanding with the Father and listening and teaching what the Father has taught him. Now we think about Jesus' ministry. We think about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we read through those, and we see what Jesus teaches. Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God, God's rule on earth. He teaches about how we should treat one another. He teaches how we should have a proper ethic, the way we live our lives, treat others, love God, love other folks. And so God, through Jesus, teaches Israel. And the servant says, I had your ear. My ears are listening. I don't turn back. And the disciple is Jesus in this case. Now, Jesus also had disciples. Some of you can name some of the disciples, particularly guys like Matthew and John and Peter, maybe Andrew, his brother, James, some other guys, Judas. Jesus had those who followed him. He taught what the Father told him to teach, and the disciples listened. Now, what does that mean for us? How do we fit into that aspect? A lot of us call ourselves Christians, but in Scripture, it would call us disciples. We are to hear what the Master teaches. We are to hear what God teaches, and we are to teach others as well. Our job as believers, our job as Christians, our job as disciples is to always be learning and to always be teaching. We learn what God says by reading his word, by coming together in corporate worship and listening to what God teaches us in Scripture. We learn through doing Bible study and getting together in groups and learning from each other. We learn what God teaches us, and then we teach it to others. You don't have to be in front of a chalkboard or a whiteboard or on a stage or anywhere like that, but you are always teaching others. What are you teaching them? If we go back to Matthew chapter 28, there's this famous passage called the Great Commission. And in it, Jesus commissions us to go. It's probably a passage you've heard. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Check out verse 20, though. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be teaching. So our goal as church members, our goal as the church, our goal as believers, our goal as Christians, our goal as disciples is not just to say we have another disciple, but to teach them. And what do we teach them? Do we teach them our own ideas? Do we teach them our own thoughts? Do we teach them our own opinions? No. Jesus says, teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. So we look at God's word, we see what Jesus taught, and those are the things we teach. Jesus is what we teach. Jesus' words is what we teach. God's Scripture is what we teach. So Jesus says, I was a disciple. Jesus calls us to be a disciple, a learner and a teacher. And Jesus reminds us, that last phrase of the verse is that, and don't forget, I'm always with you. Don't forget, I'm always with you. You're not alone. I walk with you. I help you. I teach through you. You've just got to be willing to do it. So we see here that the voice and the ear of God is who this servant is. And Israel rebelled. Israel rebelled. Israel said, yeah, you're God, you're good enough for some things. But as you read through the books of the Bible, like Judges, or you keep going through Samuel and through Kings, and you see Israel's rebellion against God. And God judges them. God allows them to go into exile. And Israel rebels against God. But this servant says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to rebel. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to turn my back on God when everybody else does. And we see Jesus in his ministry, in his life. Does he ever disappoint the Father? Does he ever turn his back on God? Does he ever not be obedient? And for you and us, if we're disciples, if we are changed people, if we are believers, how rebellious are we? Do we turn our back on God? Do we break God's heart? And it's not a matter of question if you're going to do it. I promise you, you will. I do it all the time. But how fast do we run back to him in repentance? How fast do we run back to him and say, I'm not going to do that anymore? How fast do we run back to him and apologize and get things right, change our lives through his power? We're going to let God down. But he's expecting that. He knows everything. How fast will you run back to him? The servant, the big S servant, God himself, Jesus in the form of humanity, never let God down. He never rebelled, as this text tells us, and as his life shows in the Gospels. But you and I need a desire and a hope and a life lived in pursuit of living the same way that Jesus did. It may be radical for some of us because we think as long as I'm as good as the next guy or better than that person, I'm doing okay. But our goal and our aspiration is to live the way Jesus did. Not turning our back, not rebelling, not sinning against God, but living in a way that God is honored and glorified, and we learn from him and we teach others. We have his ear, we have his eyes. We become the voice of God. How rebellious are you? How much do you run from God? This servant is a perfect example of how we should live. And then something happens to this servant that blows our mind. I mean, the servant is doing everything right. We think of our own life and we think of how we should live. If you do what is quote unquote right, then God will take care of you. God will bless you. And that is our mindset. As long as I'm living right, God will be good to me. As long as I'm living right, as long as I'm living in God's will, as long as I'm obeying God, my life will be quote unquote good. And the world teaches us that. But the problem is we go and we look at the scripture, we go and we look at what the Bible says, and there is no indication that if you're obedient to God, life will be easy. There's no indication that if you're obedient to God, God will make you rich. There's no indication that if you're obedient to God, life will be sunshine and rainbows all day long. Why? Check out verse 6. What happens to this servant who is the voice of God? What happens to this servant who doesn't rebel? What happens to this servant who lives out life the way he should? Verse 6 says, I gave my back to those who beat me. I gave my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who tore out my beard. I didn't hide my face from scorn and spitting. The servant is doing everything right, yet the world doesn't like it. The servant is saying, go back to God. The servant is saying, pointing, come back to the one that we need to worship. Come back, leave your idols, leave your own desires and passions, and follow the God who deserves all your desire and all of your passion. And what do? They say, I don't like your message. And they physically beat the guy. He says, I've given my back. I gave my cheeks for them to beat me and to rip out my beard. They scorned me. They made fun of me. They cussed me out. And they spit on me. At Easter time, we often look at the life last week of Jesus' life. And in that last week of Jesus' life, we talk about his death and the events leading up to his death. And we'll do this a little more next week. But as we look at Jesus' death, we see that Jesus gives his back literally for us. That one of the things that they do is that they bend him over a pole, tie his hands, and start to beat him and whip him with a very specially made whip. This whip had 9 talons on the end, or 9 pieces of leather, and in each of those leather they had lead and bone and marbles and just hard things and sharp things. And the point of this was to hit the person, to bruise them, and for their sharp objects like the lead or the bone or the other pieces of metal to grab a hold to the skin so that they could rip the back. And they hit Jesus 39 times with this thing. Most people who go through this pass out about halfway through from shock, from loss of blood, from extreme pain. And Jesus gave his back for us. Before they laid him over that pole and exposed his back so that it could be whipped, they made fun of him. They scorned him. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They punched him in the face. They grabbed his beard and ripped it out. They spit on him. Jesus did everything right. Jesus did everything he was supposed to do. Jesus lived the perfect life, yet man was violent toward him. Think about our society today. Think about the anger, the hate, the violence that's going on. Why are people so violent? Why are people shooting one another? Because the heart of man is corrupt. And when you tell us the truth, we don't want to hear the truth. We would rather beat down the messenger. Have you ever heard the phrase, or maybe you've even said this phrase, don't kill the messenger? And that's exactly what they did with Jesus. They killed the messenger because they hated the message. And the message is this: God loves you, but God loves you more than you think. And he loves you so much, he wants you to change your life. He wants you to change into who he wants you to be. And that means you've got to turn down your own passions, turn down your own desires, and give them all to God. So we see this servant who obeys the master, who obeys God. And the reaction is hate and violence and vileness toward him. They condemn him. But what's the response of God? How does God respond? Check out the last few verses. 7-9 says this: the Lord God will help me. God will help me. Therefore, I have not been humiliated. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. The one who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us comfort each other. Who has a case against me? Let him come near me. In truth, the Lord God will help me. Who will condemn me? Indeed, all of them will wear out like a garment. A moth will devour him. We have the servant who is the ear of God, who is the voice of God. We have a servant who is mistreated and who is seen vile and violence. Yet we see the vindication of God in the end. This is a courtroom scene. Who's going to bring charges against me? And you think of the courtroom, the people bring charges. The state brings charges. The nation brings charges. In cases, it is not the person who is hurt against the person who does the hurting. It is usually, in a criminal case, it is the state versus so-and-so. The state says, we bring charges against you. And the nation brings charges against Jesus. They don't like what he has to say. They don't like what the way he wants to do it. And we do the same thing. We say, God, I don't like your methods. God, I don't want you to change me. God, I don't want these things. And I reject God. I reject Jesus. I reject your teachings. And Jesus says, the servant says, after I've been beaten, after I've been mocked, after I've been scourged, after I've been spit on, you have no case. You have no case. Who is going to help the servant? Who lifts up the servant? Who vindicates the servant? And the imagery here is that God himself becomes the witness for the servant. God himself is the best witness for the servant. God himself comes down and testifies on behalf of the servant. Now check this out. Jesus is the perfect servant. God says, I'm going to vindicate him. But in our lives, people will make accusations. People will make claims. People will try to hurt us. People will try to be vile toward us when all we did was speak the truth of God. And God says, I will be your witness. I will be your expert witness. I will vindicate you. I will be the one who clears all the charges. Now, that doesn't mean that man will not hurt you. Doesn't mean that man will not continue to be violent toward you. Doesn't mean that man will not continue to have violence toward you. They eventually killed Jesus. Yet, what does God do? He raises him on the third day. God himself raises himself on the third day. And you go back to that passage we looked at last week in Philippians chapter 2, where it says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, tongues in heaven, tongues on earth, tongues below, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you may go through hardship, you may go through pain, you may go through suffering, you may go through the violence and the vile and the anger of some people. But as long as you walk with God, as long as you stay by his side, as long as you obey him, one day you will be vindicated. Now you need to be cautious. That just because you call yourself a Christian and people talk bad about you and people hurt you, that means you're being obedient to God. How do you know the difference? You listen to what God says. You read his word. You have that relationship with him. And one day he will vindicate all his creation. Scripture talks about the judgment. Scripture talks about how man will one day come before God. He talks about how he will judge the wicked. One day that will happen. Our job in the meantime is to be obedient and to follow him the same way the servant did. So my question for you today is, are you being obedient? Are you following him? Have you given your life over to him and said, I will make you mine? You are my Lord. You are my God. You are my master. You are my boss. Have you ever done that? And if you have you ever made it public? Jesus demonstrates true discipleship for us. He obeys the Father the same way we should. He teaches other folks the same way we should. We should be obedient and we should teach. Jesus' suffering teaches us how to suffer. He didn't deserve it. It wasn't due him. Yet he suffered anyway. And in his suffering, he pointed people back to God. When they crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them. Jesus is vindicated by God. He is raised from the dead. That is the greatest vindication you can ever have. He is raised from the dead and says, he is my son. And one day we're going to worship him. One day we're going to bow our knee. The question is, are you going to wait till that day when it's too late, or were you willing to do it now? The ball's in your court. The decision is up to you. Are you going to follow God and his instruction, willing to suffer hardship, willing to suffer pain, willing to go through the tough times in life, knowing that one day you will be vindicated? Maybe even after your death. But God will vindicate you. God will be your witness. God will stand by your side and lift you up. Or do you choose to live your own way, in your own wisdom, in your own capacity, and say, I've got this all figured out? What are you going to do with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? If you've never given him your life, I encourage you to do that today. If you've never made it public, I encourage you to do that today. So as Chris plays, I want you to think on these things. Think on this idea of the servant. He is obedient to the point of death. Are we obedient? Are you obedient? So would you stand and respond to God? If you want to know what it means to follow him, come out. I'd love to talk with you. Father God, we thank you that you are consistent in all you do. Father, I pray that as Jesus was the perfect servant, that he was obedient, that he lived a life that was pleasing to you, that even though man had violence and vile and hate toward him, he kept following. He stayed obedient. Father, I pray that we would live out that example as well. And when our world is falling apart, we will stay obedient. And when there's chaos in our life, we'll stay obedient. When people bring us violence and vile, we will stay obedient. Because when we're obedient, you bring us vindication. We may not see it now, we may not see it soon, but we know that you declare us innocent, and that you lift us up and you vindicate us. One day you will judge the righteous and the wicked. And the wicked will be judged by the vile and the hate and the violence and the way they treated your children. So Father, I pray that you would help us to stay by you, that you would help us to be true disciples, to teach others and learn ourselves. I pray we'd be intentional in what we teach. We'd be intentional in who we teach about you and all your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen.